Talking Automotive, thanks to Imlax, buyers of end-of-life vehicles. Go to imlax.com.au, LMCT 1229.
It is time to talk automotive, which affects just about all of us, and VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim is online. Jeff, good evening.
Dennis, good evening.
Great to have you on the program. The ACT government has purchased 20 new hydrogen vehicles. Is this the future?
Well, these are the Hyundai Nexo hatchbacks, nice little vehicles. And look, they've got a position in the ACT. They want to be, you know, completely free of all emissions by, I think it's 2035, might be 2045. They've got a lot of clean electricity up there, but they want to make sure that other parts of their system, I mean, they put a tramway in, I think it was last year or the year before, and I wondered why, but that, you know, it was about moving to clean energy. Hydrogen, you know, when we talk about, we've got electric vehicles and we've got fuel cell vehicles, and fuel cell vehicles are vehicles that have hydrogen as the load, if you like, the fuel load. And that hydrogen goes through this thing, which is the actual fuel cell itself, which actually splits the electrons and the ions, and it generates electricity. That electricity powers the car and also puts electricity into the battery. Now, you know, why has it taken us so long to get here with hydrogen? It has to be generated. It takes a lot of energy to generate, to strip hydrogen atoms out of things like water. So we still haven't cracked the science of getting hydrogen out of water easily. So there's a lot of electricity and heat required there. But also pressure. You need about 10,000 PSI, which is about 700 bar, to actually put this thing under pressure into a vehicle. Now that doesn't mean it's unsafe. And in Canberra, they've actually got one of the first public hydrogen stations there now, and these 20 vehicles will use that hydrogen station, and that we will test a whole lot of theories in here, Dennis, about how much it costs, what are the driving conditions like. We know,
yeah,
you know, you can fill up one of these little Nexos, it'll do 660 kilometres.
Are the governments a bit, they're probably wanting to head towards electric and all that sort of stuff. Would there be a concern from governments at the loss of revenue from the petrol bowsers?
Well, that's a really interesting question. There's about $11 billion a year collected from fuel excise. However, that's actually a federal government excise, even though the state government in Victoria and South Australia are considering the 2.5 cents a litre for 2.5 cents a kilometre for electric vehicles. The states never collected the fuel excise anyway, the feds did. The federal government are thinking long and hard about how they recover that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
However, Australia isn't a world leader in the uptake of electric cars, and hydrogen will come later. But, of course, I think that all vehicles, Dennis, will move to per-kilometre road user charging type systems anyway. Not particularly difficult to do for a government if they want to do it. My gut feeling is that even hydrogen, which is a great fuel, you know, it'd be very hard for the government to levy that. So again, they would be more likely to just return to a per kilometre surcharge or levy for vehicles.
It's an interesting one. 11 to 10. Jeff Gwillim is with me from the VACC. I was talking to someone yesterday who's just made the transition to a hybrid and couldn't be happier.
Yeah, look, hybrids are the middle ground, and a lot of people are going towards them. Great idea. You know, it's a lot cheaper to run. But ultimately, I think once the pricing's right, we'll move more quickly to electric vehicles. If I was going to buy a vehicle today, I'd consider, I mean, look, we're still buying petrol and diesel vehicles. It's, you know, there's no date set in Australia when we're going to stop buying or be allowed to buy petrol and diesel vehicles. The other thing is when we look at trucks in particular, you know, diesel is a great fuel for long distance travel, and electric for a big truck does have some problems. Now, this isn't small trucks. There's a lot of fleets being built for small trucks around cities for light load dropping, and that's fine. But big trucks, you'd need a battery of about 5 or 6 tonnes if you were going to have the same energy on a big truck that you have in the diesel tanks. So clearly that's going to be a challenge around electric in big trucks. And my gut feeling is that's where hydrogen will do its best work, is in the heavy vehicle sector, heavy vehicle plant equipment, long vehicles. And I think electricity will get well seated into the car market, but the pricing's not there, Dennis. In Australia, we're very prudent buyers. Unless the pricing's right, people aren't going to switch over. But every year, electric cars, Teslas and the lease, they all, in real terms, they all get a bit cheaper.
I've been seeing more Teslas on the road lately than I can recall ever. They just seem to be, and they're not the most beautiful looking car, but evidently they are beautiful to drive. But I'm seeing more and more of them in recent months.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Once you get your eye in for a particular car, like if you're going to go and buy a car, if you think to yourself, well, I'll go and buy a Toyota Hilux, for example, that's all you see every time. Because you tend to be looking at them, and I think the same is with Tesla and other electric vehicles as well, is that if you've got any inclination about buying one, then of course you've got to look out for one. I had a look online recently, just poodling around, and looked at Teslas. They still hold their price really well in the used car market. There's not a lot of them in that market. And one of the challenges of government is if the government wants us to move to an electric vehicle fleet in Victoria, that's one of their desires. You've got to have second-hand vehicles well in the market. You can't impose the cost of electric vehicles. You can't say the word community. You need to buy an electric vehicle, but they're really expensive, and best of luck. You've got to have mechanisms in way to let people into that market, and that's achieved at the moment through the used car market.
Brad, good evening to you.
Yeah, I just got a question. I've got two questions on diesel fuel. Like, they got this standard diesel, and then you got ultimate diesel. Is it worth buying that with the extra 3-4 cents a litre? And as well, water's really bad for diesel fuel motors. Can you put a bit of metho in diesel, like you used to be able to put it in unleaded cars?
Okay. All right. Good questions, Brad, but you might not like my answer. My recommendation is you only put into a vehicle what the manufacturer specifies. A lot of work goes in. If you go into an engine plant, a lot of work goes into determining what particular type of fuel needs to go in that vehicle. It doesn't matter whether it's petrol or diesel. And, there's all sorts of... Sometimes people think, look, I'll put a more expensive fuel in my car and that'll be better for it. Well, it's not, because the combustion engine has been designed in a particular way and suited to a particular grade of fuel. So, Brad, I would just put in what's on the label, mate.
You've got a second question, Brad. Can you hold it? We need to take a commercial break, but we'll get back to you straight after these.
Now, this is Nights with Dennis Walter.
Brad, your second question for Jeff Quillam. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's still on the diesel fuel way. You used to be able to put some metho in your normal petrol tank if you got moisture in your fuel. Can you do that with diesel? Would that be dangerous? It's because it's different octanes now. I'd say it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I'd put a separator in, Brad. Get a diesel mechanic to put a separator in it for you, mate, and it'll take the water out.
Mark, good evening to you.
Dennis, how are you going?
Good, go ahead.
Good, mate. I've the truck that I run up to Queensland, the back's 600,000. The only fuel I've put in it is BP Ultimate, and the other time that I have put the BP standard diesel in it, it runs like a chaff cutter. I've never had one problem with the fuel line running BP Ultimate.
So paying for the most expensive fuel has given you great satisfaction.
Yeah, I laughed when someone says, I put in 80 litres and spent $100. I said, try put in 1,400 litres and spending $1,600. It's a lot more. But yeah, certainly runs a lot better the higher grade, higher quality fuel.
Is that the sort of general consensus, Jeff, about using the right fuel for the vehicle and you'll get the results?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it is. I mean, you've got to stick with what the manufacturer recommends. However, if you can get 600,000 kilometres without a vehicle having a play-up, that's a pretty good journey as well. I think also, often if you're putting in a higher grade fuel and you've never put in the fuel that should be in there, it's quite possible that you'd have gone the same kilometres without any problems anyway.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think for the people who really examine the concept of using the most expensive fuel in their vehicle, if it says you should, I think the ones who really test it out usually find out that it is a better option.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
Jeff Gwilym, thank you. From the VACC, the CEO, Jeff Gwilym, joins me each Monday talking all issues to do with automotive.